That's the boss, Bruce Springsteen, with a tune from the album The Rising called Mary's Place. And I have to say that's one of my favorite albums from a career that just is full of favorites from Bruce Springsteen. And on the phone right now, we've got longtime guitarist for the Bruce Springsteen Band, as well as Neil Young and, you know, out on his own work and Grin and just tons of stuff. The one and only Nils Lofgren. Nils, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks very much. In fact, we did a great version of Mary's Place Saturday and Sunday night in our in Barcelona.
Excellent.
Spain. Did a couple big shows there, and glad to be in the States for a little bit and getting ready to do another 4 or 5 weeks of work here in America. So I'm excited to be on the road with a great band.
Sure. Well, Nils, obviously, man, I mean, you have had a career that 10,000 guitarists could only wish that they had had. I mean, you've played with arguably two of the top 3 to 5 greatest songwriters of all time, with Bruce Springsteen and Neil Young. You know, for you now, you were telling me off air, you've been on the road for 40 years. Do you look back at it and say, wow, how did I get so lucky?
Yeah, I do. I mean, kind of accidentally realized this year that this is my 40th year on the road, and I've got so many talented friends that, you know, are crazy or dead, and I've just been very fortunate and lucky to not only, you know, stay alive and feel like I'm growing and learning as a musician, but to get to play some in extraordinary bands with Neil Young, Ringo Starr's all-star bands, and of course the E Street Band I joined 24 years ago. Where I feel most at home is on stage, really, with a band from an audience. The studio requires a bit of patience I don't naturally have, and of course that's part of the job. But I do love to be in front of an audience with a great band, and I've had a chance to be in many of them. So, you know, including my own acoustic shows or band shows, I'm very blessed and grateful to be in 40 years and still going strong.
Sure. Now, Nils, being in Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, you know, the one thing that always intrigues me, so to speak, is that it never seems, at least on the recordings, that you guys are billed. It's never billed as Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. It's always just Bruce Springsteen. Why is that?
You know what? I don't know. That's, again, I came in late. I'm still the newcomer in the band. Me and Patty are the newest members 24 years ago. Really, and you know, they have a long history before us. In fact, I used to go buy tickets in the 70s
for sure.
The band, because I've always been a big fan. But you know, from my perspective, I'm very grateful. I tour every year on my own. I play little clubs in the Northeast or Europe. Sometimes I get out west. You know, I've been at it so long, and so first of all, to be in a great band and not have to be the boss, it's a lot of work being the leader. And I'm quite used to being the leader and comfortable with it, but it's fun to embrace just being a musician in a great group. And, you know, all that political stuff is really something I don't have to get bothered with or worry about. And honestly, I don't even know the answer to that question. That's something you'd have to ask Bruce.
Well, Nils, you know, obviously throughout the years playing, you know, with Bruce and even with Neil Young, you know, you clearly end up on the biggest stages in the world. It's not like you're playing very many gigs with Springsteen or back in the day with Neil Young in a, you know, a 500 seat club. Is it an odd feeling for you to go out solo and play smaller venues when you're, you know, I mean, you're basically accustomed to 10,000 people in front of you through your whole career?
Well, you know, the truth, Chris, is probably 85% of the last 40 years I've been singing in very intimate settings with 200, 300, 400 people like kind of surrounding me, which is actually a great, great pressure and practice if you love to play, because, you know, the theme is to get lost in the music and trust your instincts if you've prepared properly, which I'm pretty good at. And when you're in a little club and people are, you know, sitting at your feet staring at you, it's not really hard. You either get lost in it or you fall on your face. Actually, some of the bigger stadium things, you know, people are far away and it's such a spectacle, you have to almost hook into the band and the music first, and then you can kind of come up for air a half hour later and check it out a bit. But you're not there to observe a spectacle. You're there to get lost in some great music and play inspired parts. So it's all part of the same journey, and, you know, you learn how to adapt a little bit for each setting. But it is a bit of a, you know, shell shock going from either the clubs to the stadium or vice versa. But so much of the last 40 years have been the little gigs. And then, you know, once I get in the bigger bands with Neil or Ringo or Bruce, I adapt quickly. And in fact, on the Trans Tour with Neil Young in 83, we did a stadium tour of Europe. And the E Street Band really didn't even start doing stadiums until 85, a year after we started the Born USA tour. So I'd already had some familiarity with the biggest places and working with Neil there. And it's just adjustments you make. If you love to perform, it's kind of a natural progression, and you just adapt and make it. The goal is to make it right for the audience.
Well, Nils, the first time I ever saw you perform was with Bruce in 1985 in Cleveland Stadium here in Cleveland. And, you know, I've since seen you play several times. You know, most recently, I think for me, was the Rising Tour. And,
right.
And the one thing that I noticed, you know, is how much the show has changed, you know, through the course of the career. And by change, I mean, back in the 80s and even the 70s, you know, Bruce and the band, it was more like hanging out with friends for 3 or 4 hours while at the same time your friends were rocking on stage. And it's become more of a song, maybe a little story, but the stories have sort of taken a backseat to the music now. Have you noticed that change, and B, do you know why the shows have evolved that way?
Well, first of all, the shows are continuing to evolve, and in fact, just recently, this last month, we went from, you know, maybe 4 or 5 audibles a night, which we're used to, which now, literally, sometimes on the way to the stage, Bruce will change the opening song, and lately, he's gone off the set list the second song of the night, and the whole night's just been one big audible. He's been collecting signs out of the audience. He has been telling a little more stories, and he's just got a stack of 30 signs on stage, and he rifles through them like a college kid looking for a lost T-shirt. And we're just doing a whole request night now. It's very ambitious. It's very different than how this tour started. And, you know, for the first time, Bruce wanted to experiment with condensing, like covering all the emotional territory he needed to and felt he wanted to, but doing it, you know, without like the 2-minute, you know, just being crazy with a chord jam endings. And we got down around 2:20, and now we're back up 3 hours plus. So, you know, it's just part of being in a great band. It's not like anything's ever left in the past. Recently started telling some more stories about Danny, which was brutal to navigate Danny's loss, our organist of, you know,
oh, sure,
40 years with Bruce and 24 years with me. So it's just kind of like, you know, an evolving thing. It's not, I don't think, premeditated. It's just like any great band leader. It's like, what do I want to sing tonight, and how reckless do I want to get with taking chances? And, you know, Bruce has, I think, challenged himself and kind of shattered the bar he set about really challenging the band and himself to just improvise, do songs we've never rehearsed or talked about. I mean, you know, the other night we did Drive All Night. They hadn't played it since 81. They'd never played it with me. I've done hundreds and hundreds of shows with the band. So it is evolving, but it's not, I don't think, premeditated so much as just inspired, really.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Danny, and obviously that's a huge loss to the Springsteen camp with his passing. When you guys played the first show after his passing, you know, I guess the point I want to go to here is that the E Street Band and Bruce have always been hard on your sleeve type of players, you know, and then to have something, you know, pretty tragic within the camp happen. How difficult was it to get back on stage and then actually talk about his passing and his life, you know, as you guys have moved past?
Well, I think appropriately and painfully, we didn't hide it. We kind of immersed ourselves in it, you know, with Bruce's direction. We ran a really emotional 5-minute clip of Danny's career with the band and Bruce on stage on a big screen, and all watched it in the dark while we played Blood Brothers, which is a song Bruce composed for the Greatest Hits record we all recorded together in the 90s that speaks to a team, in this case a team of musicians with a long family history. And actually then the first night back without Danny, we played Backstreets, and we left the organ part out. You know, Charlie Giordano, who's a brilliant musician and a great guy, we couldn't ask for a better guy to, you know, step into the organ, you know, slot and play that instrument. But for that first song, we just played Backstreets without anybody on the organ and had a spotlight there just to highlight the loss. And I think as painful as it's been to have these shows to work through the loss and the grief and the grieving has been medicinal, and which music is supposed to be. And but there's no shortcuts, you know. And I think, like you say, we kind of wear our heart on our sleeve, and that's the theme of the great songwriting too. So we're just getting through it. Couldn't ask for a better guy than Charlie to help us and come out and play. And it's just, you know, sad part of life that if you're around long enough, that tragic stuff starts happening. And you know, we'll always miss Danny, and I'm glad we got shows to carry on with too.
Sure, absolutely, man. Well, Nils, the reason that you're calling today is that you personally have a brand new solo record out, and it kind of recalls your past, but it really, to me, it really refocuses the fact on yourself as not only a guitar player, but one of the better singers out there. The new record is called The Loner, Nils Does Neil, and it's a collection of Neil Young covers. And the first thing I've got to tell you, man, is you really seem to have channeled Neil vocally, you know, as well, the voice, the inflections, everything on some of these songs. It is really one of the better cover things I've ever heard, so congratulations on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Thanks a lot. I was fortunate at 18 years of age to do the After the Gold Rush record, and actually some of the tracks, well, specifically Wonderin', we cut for that record, never made the record. Only Love Can Break Your Heart, I played piano and sang on. But I found out at an early age, singing with Neil on that album, there was kind of a similar gentleness in our voices and kind of maybe a haunted innocence there. And always being a fan and getting to work with him on many projects through the years, I always noticed that about our voices. And I would have never thought of this, but my manager Anson pointed out on my website, nilsloughton.com, that by far the most popular items in the last decade have been a live acoustic DVD and a live acoustic CD. So he suggested doing my favorite Neil songs, and I really wasn't sure how I felt about it, but I picked about 30, and he's got hundreds of them. That I love songs, and I just sang them for 2 weeks to my dogs and cats, and I didn't record, I didn't arrange, I just sang. And what happened was, after a couple weeks, some of them, I felt, made the transition from, you know, decent karaoke into maybe more of a special thing. And really, you're right, it is about the song and my voice. It's not about musicianship. It's just that I also realized if I was going to bring anything special to this, that every song had to be live, with one instrument, no production, no overdubs, no fixing, just a performance. And I kind of used my experience, especially in the early days with After the Gold Rush and Tonight's the Night, and tried to see the project through David Briggs' eyes, who was Neil's producer and mine, and kind of my big brother mentor growing up. And with those rules, you know, live performance only, very heartfelt and emotional, no production, I thought it had a chance, and we were hoping to get 10 or 12 tunes, and we wound up getting 15 that felt right. So we're just sharing it, and I feel proud of it. It's certainly it was a very emotional stroll down a serious memory lane for me, and it really turned out well, I thought. I feel proud of it, and, you know, grateful to have this D-18 Martin that Neil lent me when we did After the Gold Rush. I didn't own an acoustic guitar, and at the end of the project, he gave it to me as a gift, which was the obvious instrument to use for this also. So, and there are a lot of cool things going on, and I allude to them in the liner notes. But turned out we're sharing it, and I feel good about it.
Now, do you know if Neil has heard the record yet and what he thought of it?
I don't. You know, I waited until I pretty much had finished recording the record, and I knew I had something special. And then I called Neil, I talked to him about it just to get his blessing, which he's always been very supportive of what I do. And, you know, we had a good chat, and I sent him, once we got it mixed up, I sent him some tapes, and then I sent him the final thing with the liner notes, and he gave me some good advice about the David Briggs production credit, which I gave David because I felt like I used David's spirit to produce the whole thing, keep it very live and emotional. But I don't know if he's heard it. I've gotten a call from his wife, Peggy, his manager, Elliot, who both really like the record. And so if and when Neil does hear it, I hope he recognizes it as a very sincere, honest attempt to reproduce his songs in an extremely stark, intimate setting. And he's on the road, too. And, you know, when you're on the road leading a band, you get pretty preoccupied. So I don't even know if he's heard it yet.
Sure. Well, Nils, in addition to, as if you weren't busy enough being on the road with E Street and putting out a CD of your own, you were telling me offline that you have a school that you're launching as well?
Well, you know, I've launched a beginner's guitar school on my website, nilslofgren.com. It's their hour-long lessons. About every 3 weeks, one's available. So many people have told me that they'd love to play rock guitar for fun, and they don't feel they're allowed to because they have no talent or rhythm. And, you know, I feel sad for those people because you don't need talent or rhythm unless you want to play professionally, and then you need a lot more than that and a lot of luck, too. But between 10 years of classical accordion studies and playing guitar for 40 years on the road, I've got some real good shortcuts and tips. And basically, it's a beginner's guitar school for people who want to learn for fun, that want to start at zero and don't know anything. And the lessons are rarely impromptu in my home with a good tape and good sound. But the theme is, look, it's like gymnastics for your hands. You're going to struggle. You're going to get frustrated. So let me show you some stuff you can do with one finger today. Play with me, along with me. Make music and have fun today. You don't have to wait for 8 months of hard work. And you can tailor the fun with the hard work as you see fit. Because let's face it, a lot of us have, you know, families, kids, crazy jobs, bosses, sick parents, whatever, dogs, cats, life's complex, times at a premium. So the beginner's guitar school is for people that want to play for fun. And I feel like I'm a good teacher to help navigate that and enjoy it pretty quickly and regularly, because that's what music's meant to be.
Well, Nils, you've been in a band with a guy that's basically credited for creating or being one of the innovators and creators of rock and roll with Ringo Starr. You've been in a band with a guy that's arguably the creator of, you know, folk rock music with Neil Young. And then obviously you've been in a band with a guy that's considered a legend among legends with Bruce Springsteen. Of the three, which is the easiest and which is the hardest gig, and why?
Well, you know what? The similarities are enormous. The only real difference when we did the Ringo tours, first of all, the Beatles, to me, have the greatest body of recorded music in history, and it was an honor to help one of the Beatles have fun on the road and be in his band. And 89 and 92, both the first two all-star bands. But really, you know, the similarities are the better thing to speak to, because they're all very passionate, they all love to perform live, and they're looking for their bandmates to really shine and, you know, introduce as much of their emotional selves as possible. So whether it's Neil or Ringo or Bruce, even the Jerry Lee Lewis Last Man Standing DVD I did, which was a live show in New York City. I got to play guitar and pedal steel for Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the creators of rock and roll. Once again, you know, people leave you on your own and let you do what you feel. And as long as it feels right, that's the beauty of it. You know, you try to get people to play with it. You don't have to coach too much. And, you know, they're all very talented, gifted people, so they might have an idea like, you know, sometimes Bruce is like, you know what, I don't want to play guitar anymore, I'm just going to sing on this one, pick up my part. But it's a very organic, natural process with all of them, and you know, 99% of it is really the same. It's just really the sounds, maybe, of their voices that are different. But, you know, the similarities are what's important for me. They're all very emotional, gifted artists that want me to contribute an emotional performance and do what I do. And the greatest requirement, I think, is not musicianship. It's a love and understanding of the music, which fortunately I have.
The name of the album is The Loner. Nils Sings Neil. And Nils, as a tradition here on the show, we always let the artist pick a closing track from the new record. So which track would you like us to play, and why should we play that one?
Well, you know what? There's a really funky song I wasn't sure I could get nasty enough that we did live in the studio on the Tonight's the Night record. And it sounded too pretty on guitar. It sounded too pretty on piano. So I detuned a funky bottleneck dobro and wound up getting the the funk and the dirt we had in the original recording on Tonight's Tonight album. I'll pick the song World on a String.
Okay, well, let's check it out. It's Nils Lofgren with World on a String right here on The Morning Show here on 104.7 The Rocket.